Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Just ask Alan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan is not the official timekeeper of the economy, to my knowledge anyway, but it seems like he wants to be. First, Greenspan said the chance of recession was 30%, and it was 50%. This morning, he tells the Wall Street Journal it's still around 50%, but more likely higher than lower. Got that? By the way, we're expecting to hear today that Greenspan has been hired by the hedge fund Paulson & Company. Paulson was a big winner last year because it bet against subprime mortgages. Washington is abuzz with talk of stimulating the economy. The White House has a few ideas. Congress gets back to work today, and the economy will be a top priority. Of course, agreeing on a stimulus package might not be as easy as predicting a recession. Here's John Dimsdale.
Republicans and Democrats concur the economy could use a kickstart, but there's little agreement on where to aim the kick. Many Republicans say it's business activity that's stalled, and they favor investment tax credits or cuts in capital gains taxes. Democrats focus more on consumers and call for extra food stamps, increased unemployment benefits, and public works projects to create jobs. Budget expert Stanley Collender at Corvus Communications doesn't expect the two sides will find common ground.
Given the last year's history of the two sides not working together, unless the economy goes south, very far south, very quickly and is unambiguously bad, it may be very difficult to get an agreement together.
One more problem. By the time Congress and the White House work out their differences, tax cuts and additional spending might come too late to do the economy any good. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Wall Street is watching the earnings reports roll in to see if the economy is doing a number on corporate profits. Yesterday, IBM delivered some good news, and investors went on a buying spree. The Dow starts the morning at 12,778. It gained 171 points yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 38 to 2478, and the S&P 500 added 15 to 1416. In Asia today, the Nikkei fell 1%. Other Asian markets were down a fraction. European shares are down 1% so far. If you're going to buy an expensive bottle of wine, it better taste good, right? But a study in today's issue of the journal Science suggests it might taste good because it's expensive. Rose Hoban reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Caltech's Antonio Runhel studies how people make spending decisions, and the neuroeconomist wanted to test how price affects perceptions of quality. So he gave subjects samples of Cabernet Sauvignon and scanned their brains while they tasted them.
So there were a range of prices between $5 and $90, and we tell them, right now, you are receiving in your mouth a sip of the $5 Cabernet Sauvignon, of the $35 Cabernet Sauvignon.
But Runhel's subjects didn't know that he lied about the price, saying some wine was expensive when it wasn't. The pleasure centers of subjects' brains became more active as they drank cheap wine they thought was expensive.
So literally, for that area of the brain that encodes subjective pleasure, a more expensive wine tastes better.
Runhel says this shows that people's expectations affect how much pleasure they get from an experience. People tend to equate price with quality, even if the wine is really just $2 chuck. In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Rose Hoban for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at grantthornton.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Time once again for my morning commute.
Let's see how the roads are rolling with Time Saver Traffic. Here's
go around me.
Would you pull over? Let me try.
Today we're going overseas to London, a city with great public transportation. When Jeff Brumfield moved there last year, he was excited to use it. Then he found out how much it cost.
Everything in London is expensive, and that includes public transit. Depending on where you're going, a one-way fare can easily cost more than £3. These days, that's over $6. To save money, I recently bought a bike. Maybe you've got some quaint idea about biking through cobblestone streets. Well, cycling, as they call it here, is a lot more like a giant game of dodgeball. You've got pedestrians, cars, and motorcycles coming at you from every angle. Double-decker buses seem charming until you're wedged between two of them. But despite the daredevil feel, every day about 500,000 journeys are made by bike in London. That's up 83% from 2000, and that, as it turns out, is exactly what city planners need to happen.
It's boom time in London.
Peter McBride heads the cycling and walking division of the city's public transit authority.
There's a lot more investment flooding in. There are more jobs being created. There are more people who are coming here to live. Now, that creates enormous pressure.
London streets are swamped and the tube is packed. Planners need to come up with new ways for getting people around town. The city will spend £36 million this year improving bike routes, providing training, and promoting cycling to the public. It makes a lot of sense, says Carl Pittam. He's London director for Sustrans, which promotes sustainable transportation.
It has all the benefits for the environment, for people's health, and it relieves congestion not only on the roads, but on public transport as well, particularly at peak times.
But what about the perception it's dangerous? Well, McBride says it's actually pretty safe.
It's a bit like swimming. You can stand at the side of the pool and think, you know, I don't fancy that. But when you're in, it's very different. And it's actually not as bad as you think.
Maybe not quite as bad, and the adrenaline rush has its own rewards. By the time I get to work, I don't really need to buy a coffee. From the streets of London, I'm Jeff Brumfield for Marketplace.
If you have an unusual morning commute, let us know about it. Online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.